He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is October the 14th, 2025. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. We have got a down day in the market so far as tariff talk, tariff trade tensions. Back at the top of the list today, it eased and cooled yesterday after some comments and rhetoric Sunday night from President Trump and from Bessent. But it's back today, all right? The Dow is down 66 basis points. That's a 302-point drop, 45,764. The NASDAQ, after gaining back quite a bit yesterday, is down 1.3% right now to 22,389. The S&P is down 85 basis points. That's 56 points to 6,598. The bond market is acting well today after being closed yesterday. It's down one basis point right now at 4.04%. That's the lowest we've seen rates here for a while. Even gold is down today. Boy, I tell you, it must be a risk-off day. Gold is just barely down. It's at 4,132. Silver's down 1.3 after topping 50,000 yesterday. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, and maybe Best Inverse Funds Now. That's what I say on my podcast at the little halfway break there, because at some point in time, those inverse funds look pretty attractive. I continue to watch SARC and have a little position in it, which is Inverse Kathy Woods down there in St. Petersburg, Florida, at her ARC funds. Usually she's out there on a limb when she is again, and when things start to, when the market starts to pull in its horns, they're the first to go. Well, anyways, we had, you know, a pretty nice rebound yesterday in the markets after a little bit of easing of the tensions over the weekend, especially Sunday and early Monday. But you're back a little bit here today. There's some port fees that are kicking in today, and that is raising the temperature once again, and obviously spreading to the market. Over the weekend, Trump said he highly respected President Xi. He suggested that both nations want to avoid economic pain, writing that the U.S. wants to help China, not hurting it. And he says the U.S. could negotiate if China was willing to be reasonable. Well, China's saying the same thing about Trump, right, Barry? He just needs to be more reasonable. Bessent's kind of in the middle, saying there's been a substantial communication between the two heads of the world's largest economies. And in the meantime, I called it Rare Earth Monday yesterday. The rare earth stocks were absolutely jumping off the shelves yesterday. Crazy what was going on there. Trump has hinted at imposing export controls on Boeing aircraft parts destined for China in response to the recently announced restrictions on rare earth mineral exports. And I read that these companies in China that are exporting rare earths, they've got to get permission from the Chinese government. And they have to submit an application to be able to export their rare earth minerals. And it used to be processed fairly quickly, maybe 45 days, which is pretty quick for a government. And now it's up to 90 days, something like that, as they are slow walking, I guess you could say, Barry, the permits.
And not for military export use, right? And it can't be, I believe, at least right now, it can't be those minerals can't end up for military use. So that's another kind of deal out there. I saw where Raytheon and some other of your, you know, kind of weapons makers are starting to run very, very low on their rare earth supplies.
So. Well, I got to believe that that's the bottom line in these rare earths. Yeah, it's one thing magnets for EV cars, but you know, I don't think Trump is all that interested in magnets for EV cars. I know GM, they're going to write off $1.6 billion right. in losses because of the slowdown in EV. I got to believe that it comes down to weaponry, advanced weaponry, and that's the real rub. And just like World War II, back then it was steel and oil. Now you're talking technology, NVIDIA chips, you know, all of the software. And, of course, now the rare earth minerals come into play as each a country, especially China, ramping up their military big time, especially their navy.
Lots
have
of subs?
I don't know. You know, I talk to a lot of people in the military, and they say, "Yeah, you know, China doesn't really have the sophistication that we have." Okay, and that's where we have leverage over China.
And they have three aircraft carriers, by the way. That's, I mean, I don't, and I'm not even sure if they can, they don't, you can look this up, but I know at least one of them is just helicopters. I'm not sure if they can land a plane on top of an aircraft carrier yet, but.
And my hometown of San Diego's got three right there in front of where I usually stay downtown. So, we have a pretty, pretty awesome, Navy, in the U.S., of A. And, of course, the government shut down now. It's the 13th day, and I don't really see any progress being made. The paychecks, I'll find out from my son-in-law whether he gets his paycheck today or not.
Well, didn't Trump announce something, what, over the weekend that the military was getting paid? I don't know if it was via
Well, they found some funds, and then some one judge in Denver or somewhere blocked it. You know, this judge thing is just absolutely insane and out of control. And I saw he found other funds to fund the military.
And I saw where the Coast Guard, I guess, is going to get. I saw yesterday the Coast Guard, I guess, is going to be part of that now to get and should get paid today. We'll see, I guess. But.
Yes. So you don't want to really go out fishing today. Well, maybe if they get paid, they'll come get you if you get into trouble. And then in the meantime, we've had some big earnings today from S&P 500 companies. We've had J.P. Morgan report. We've had Wells Fargo, we've had Goldman Sachs, we've had Bank of America, we've had Morgan Stanley, the venerable old Johnson & Johnson. We're going to get 37 S&P 500 companies reporting this week, and you've got about 10 of them reporting today. Yesterday, as I said, it was quite the rare earth rally. I do see that Critical Minerals is up again today, CRML. But you had USA Rare Earth up 32.6% yesterday. That's USAR. TMC, the metals company, they're the ones that are looking for rare earth in the ocean underground, there under the ocean and under the sea. They were up 27% yesterday. Critical Metals was up 27%. Energy Fuels, which is UUUU, was up 25%. Westwater Resources, okay, I've got to add that one to my rare earth list. I don't know if I have that in the app. It was up 25%. Antimony was the chart of the day. United States Antimony. That's got to have some weaponry applications there. Trilogy Metals, TMQ, was up 16%. Lithium America, up 15.6%. Nuvo Monde Graphite. They make some kind of synthetic graphite. NMG is the symbol there. Neocorp, which I mentioned yesterday, NB. Lithium Argentina, LAR. Ramaco Resources, METC. Uranium Energy, UEC. Cameco, CCJ. Denison Mines, up 7.6, Next Gen Energy, NXE, and Linus Rare Earths. Those are a lot of them that were really moving. And, of course, you've got Mountain Pass, MP Materials, probably the best one of the bunch. And then you've got some Australian companies that I've been adding to the app here recently. So what is it today? It seems to be the port fees and the export controls that China is putting on the rare earth minerals elements. The United States and China will start charging new port fees on each other's vessels starting today, escalating trade tensions between the world's two largest economies. Markets have detected some shifting around in the U.S. approach to trade with China. That's it right now, and that's why we have a down day going on here so far today. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Dow has come back some. It was down over 400 points. Now it's down 195. The NASDAQ, however, is down 257 right now, which is a 1.14% drop. Okay, now, as far as these port fees, which kick in today, that seems to be the real issue. The United States and China will begin charging new port fees on each other's vessels starting today. The additional fees would be imposed on ocean shipping firms that move everything from holiday toys. Uh-oh, here we go. It's going to cost you more for some of those toys to crude oil. China spelled out some specific provisions on exemptions. But here's the new U.S. tariffs that come into effect today. They come into effect on imported timber coming from China. I don't know that we import a lot of timber. Kitchen cabinets, though, definitely coming from China. I've got to imagine a lot of those cabinets at Lowe's and Home Depot are coming from China. Upholstered furniture. I bought my share of upholstered furniture from China, Barry, and I'm sure everybody else has, delivered right to the door in a box with about 500 parts that you got to assemble with one of those little funny Allen wrenches that you get, you know. Much of that comes from China. China's position is consistent. If there's a fight, we'll fight to the end. If there's a talk, the door is open, said a Chinese Commerce Ministry spokesperson. He also said that the U.S. cannot demand talks while simultaneously imposing new restrictive measures with threats and intimidation. This is not the right way to engage with China. That's where we're at. In retaliation, U.S.-linked ships docking at Chinese ports. I wonder how many of our ships actually dock at Chinese ports. I'm sure we've got a lot more here in the Charleston Harbor than they do of our ships. The duties are closely matched to the port fees imposed by Washington. And Europe is caught in the middle. Their markets are down today. I just wonder if that rally in the European stocks, which has been pretty strong here this year, Europe's had one of its best years in a long time. You know, despite an economy that's growing single digits at best, usually sub 1%, it's had a good year because a lot of money moved to China or to Europe earlier this year when all this trade stuff started happening. Bank of America is warning of a possible S&P 500 correction as tariff tensions resurface. Well, you know, I mean, I've been talking a lot, and every week as I go through the charts, I put a little top line on there, the NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Dow. Right now, it would be whatever we hit last Thursday, because on Friday, you had that big sell-off. You had a comeback yesterday, which was about 50 to 60% of what we lost on Friday. But right now, I mean, you would be operating under the assumption that last Thursday, We have eclipsed a couple of tops that we've set recently. We've gone on to make new highs. But right now, you know, if that was the top, and I also said that it usually takes an adverse news event to finally put in a top. Now, I'm not talking about the ultimate top, because I believe that the earnings estimates for next year and the year after that support a higher market. But we've come a long ways from April 8th until now, and that's the top that I would be looking for, and you know, setting us up for a fairly healthy correction. Bank of America says the rally may be showing cracks as weak market breadth. There is weak breadth, Barry. It is highly focused in the rare earth
AI,
stocks, yeah. Quantum,
anything AI-centric, right? I mean, follow the ecosystem from you know, from the chips and data centers out to the power, and then into the small nuclear space.
Yes. Now, the one thing we do have going with for us is accommodative Fed. We're in lowering interest rate mode. That helps a lot, unless inflation kicks back in. I mean, with these port fees and tariffs and whatnot, you could see some inflation coming back.
In terms of correlation over the last, you know, just call it the last 30 years, the one thing that the market has been most correlated to is interest rates. And so as interest rates go down, right, all else being equal, equity prices and other asset prices go up. So
yep.
It's a big driver.
Yep. If history rhymes, this is what Bank of America is saying, which is kind of Merrill Lynch, I suppose. 10% correction is possible, would fit the pattern. But, and this is the hard part to predict, because this is all news-driven. This isn't economy-driven, it's news-driven, which is very unpredictable. Who would have ever guessed that on Friday, you know, Trump would throw out the 100% tariff talk, which sent the markets reeling, and then on Sunday night he walks it back? You just can't even predict that kind of stuff. They say that the market could go on to rally towards 7,000 if tariff fears fade, and I would be in that same boat. You know, you just don't know if the two sides can come together. But having said that, you know, the most speculative areas of the market, there's definitely bubbles there in a lot of areas, in my opinion. And that's the area you have to be the most careful with, the ARK funds. And so in our portfolios, our emerging growth portfolio, we've locked in quite a few profits, booked some profits, and our cash position in that portfolio,
got a bit of cash there, yeah.
67%, Barry. And I think that's an appropriate position for, you know, those kinds of stocks, which are some of the drone stocks and MP Materials and Rocket Labs and Super Microcomputer. But, you know, we've booked some big profits in Nebius Group, in Sport, in Astera Labs, in Pony, and some others that were even out there further on the limb. That's our smallest portfolio. That's our most aggressive portfolio. You step up to the ultra growth, which is one step above that, where you have more established names like Arista Networks and DoorDash and Robinhood and Palantir, etc. That one is now 48% cash. So it depends on where you're at in the spectrum. You know, I would definitely not be on any leverage right now, especially leveraged individual stocks or leveraged. You know, there's a lot of 3-to-1 NASDAQ, 3-to-1 tech, 2-to-1 this, 2-to-1 that. I wouldn't be in any of that right now. And then as I step up to our large cap growth portfolio, it's only total cash 15.5%. So again, it depends where you're at on the spectrum. And as I have always said, you have to take it one stock at a time. That's where your risk management comes in, is knowing where each one of your kids are before they go to bed at night, right? The same with the stocks or the team that you've assembled in your portfolio. You have to watch them very closely right now. So we'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, and I'll be headed down to Florida, the Sarasota area, the Longboat Key, Florida area, to be specific, at the St. Regis Resort tomorrow. I'll have Barry and Jeff doing the show tomorrow as I fly down. On Friday, if you're interested, this is a pretty rare opportunity. You got some high-powered speakers there. It is a $500 deal. You know, I'm not in charge of this thing. They are, and they invited me to speak at it. But from 9 to 10:30 a.m. at the St. Regis Longboat Key Resort, Disruptive Strategy Interactive Lecture by Rory McDonald, who is my nephew, and he worked alongside Clay Christensen, who came up with this whole concept of disruptive technologies at Harvard University. The program opens up to an interactive session focused on the basic principles of disruptive innovation. Man, I love that term. A framework of strategy that explains why smaller upstarts are sometimes able to successfully challenge leading incumbents, Barry. And it's true. You know, a little firm like ours is much more nimble than a Merrill Lynch or any others of the big firms out there that are giant, very slow to adapt. Through an interactive lecture format, we will examine why large, successful companies struggle to adapt in the face of market and technological change, and what leaders can do about it.
It's like turning the Titanic versus a little 35-foot fishing boat.
100%. And you know, disruptors come along all the time. In every sector, in every industry. And then at 10:45 to noon, Best Stocks Now, Bill Gunderson will be talking about disruptive companies that are publicly traded. You know, not everybody has access to the private markets, venture capital, startups, which is a very high-risk area. And we've discussed many times how they want to package that and bring it to you. And I would avoid that like the plague myself. It sounds interesting. Oh, I can get exposure to some of these big startups out there, like Elon Musk at SpaceLink and Anthropic and OpenAI. Yeah, but there's also a lot of junk packaged in there, and very few of them. And, you know, by the time you get access to these private companies, they're trading at huge multiples. It's the guys that get in on the ground floor that now need liquidity from people like you to exit their positions, you know, if they never go public or get bought out. So I'm going to talk about the public side of this whole AI. And then from 1:15 to 2:30, how private equity impacts small business. Man, I have seen an explosion here Newell White will be teaching that. He says, over the last 25 years, private equity has evolved into a massive force across many industries. Barry, they're gobbling up laundry companies. They're gobbling up just about every companies in every industry you can imagine, CPA firms, firms like mine. We're one of the hottest industries out there in private equity. Its impacts are undeniable, and as more capital flows into private equity, investments are being made in professional service companies and small businesses. These impacts have dramatically affected the healthcare industry and now threaten to disrupt law firm practices. How about that? So how can you position yourself, your company, or how can you be part of this, what is taking place? So that's all on Friday at the St. Regis Longboat Key Resort from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. If you want more information on that, we have a large listening audience down in the Sarasota area. You're going to see three experts in their own disciplines speaking on that Friday. Call Edie, call us, and she'll put you in touch with Newell White at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST, or send us a message through GundersonCapital.com. But you're going to have three high-powered speakers there on Friday, a Longboat Key. With no hurricanes, I don't think, offshore being predicted, so we should be okay there, Barry.
Yeah, we had a client speaking to a client last week, and he gave me the background on that property. You'll be there at the St. Regis, and he said you're in for quite a treat. So
that's what I've heard, that they've really, because it got hit hard.
Well, and it's a project. I mean, to build the thing, I think it was it's got the background. I think it was a project where probably took 15 or so years. They had to scrape what was there originally. I believe it was an old tennis club, and then of course legalities and zoning issues, right, and all that, and finally culmination of what it is today and what you'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, if it was in California, it would have never been built. I mean, right. They would be so tied up by the California Coastal Commission, it just wouldn't have happened. But I'm anxious to see it and stay there. Okay, look out, NVIDIA. Here comes Broadcom. What you say? Well, Broadcom is launching a networking chip called the Thor Ultra. And it's hitting NVIDIA stock a little bit here today. Broadcom is launching a new networking chip called Thor Ultra, which will help companies build AI computing systems. Listen to this. By stringing together hundreds of thousands of chips that process data, heating up the race with NVIDIA. You know, and I think the loser in this right now seems to be Arista Networks. I've seen a little weakness in that stock recently.
They were the only ones down. I mean, when I was looking at yesterday in terms of our holdings, it was one of the only names, I think one of three names that were down. I think the other one was Lilly. Whenever you've got all those names going up and you saw that name in red,
they're obviously on the wrong side of this new development. Thor Ultra allows computing infrastructure operators to deploy far more chips than they otherwise could, enabling them to build and run large language models, or LLMs. That's a new one that we have that power AI applications. So Broadcom, all of a sudden, in the race, along with Chinese companies, too, to nip at NVIDIA's heels. Now, the other big winner in all of this lately has been AMD. You know, OpenAI, Sam Altman's company, tapped AMD for their data centers. AMD is up today on a down day in the NASDAQ. We own AMD. AMD is up 2.44% today. They're getting another contract today, this time from Oracle. Let's see, where did that news go? There it is. Oracle is going to buy 50,000 AMD AI chips, the Oracle Cloud. And, of course, Oracle all of a sudden has become a big player in all of these data centers. Oracle plans to deploy AMD's Instinct M1450 chips, which were introduced earlier this year. These are AMD's first AI accelerators designed to scale into rack-size systems, allowing up to 72 chips to operate as a single unit, a configuration essential for running and deploying advanced AI algorithms. You just wonder, look at the money that is being thrown at these AI algorithms the brain power, the electrical power, the coal power, the nuclear power. Are we really, is this where we should be spending all of our money? It seems like right. We're putting an awful lot of money into this. But anyways, AMD has done a great job of positioning themselves in this space. And now there's a little one that's getting caught up in all of this. Navitas Semiconductor, NVTS. Let's see how it's doing today. It was up 25% in the pre-market. Now it's up 22.6%. It's based in Ireland. But some of these companies are Silicon Valley. They just happen to be domiciled in Ireland because of the favorable tax treatment over there. Navitas soars on progress in 800 VDC power devices for NVIDIA AI platforms. That's got to be a good thing. So that one goes in as a possibility for the emerging growth portfolio. Those are the kind of stocks that we look for in that emerging growth portfolio. I'm not saying that we're going to buy this one, but it's definitely a new player. And any kind of association with NVIDIA is a good thing. And then another big development for South Carolina, our neck of the woods, Barry, right here in our backyard in Dorchester County.
You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. A big investment by Google in Goose Creek, Barry, which isn't far from us. Google already has a big big data center there along Highway 52. They announced a new $9 billion investment in South Carolina through 2027 to expand AI infrastructure in the state. The funding will expand our Berkeley County data center campus and support the continued construction of two new sites in Dorchester County. This is all about 45 minutes from where I am. The program is going to prepare more than 160 apprentices. This is a great opportunity, man. If I had kids in just out of high school or getting out of college, 160 apprentices for careers in South Carolina's tech and energy sector. We're becoming quite the hub. Not only do we have Boeing, the port, we have the first rare earth refinery, or the first one built in many years, being built in Sumter. Yeah. We're a nuclear center in Columbia, South Carolina, and Rolls-Royce is building a plant in Aiken, South Carolina, and now you got Google spending all of this money, along with Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Volvo.
Our treasury secretary got plucked from here too. So.
Yes, he's Bessent is gone.
Right,
we've got a good governor. We've had some good governors here in South Carolina. Short sellers lose $3.5 billion as Robinhood soars. That's one of our holdings. We've done well with Robinhood. We met with the guy while we were in the Bay Area that actually is one of the compliance officers at Robinhood.
Very important in that business.
I'll say. When you're getting into prediction markets and this kind of thing, you're really pushing the envelope. I asked him, how many compliance people did he say his department had, like 100?
I think he said it was one of the biggest growing departments in the company.
Yeah, compliance. Yeah, care of compliance, making sure you're dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's, and keeping a close watch on everything that goes on there. And of course, I mean, look, they push the envelope there at Robinhood. even talking about sports betting at some point, maybe. Okay, J.P. Morgan, let's go through these. Let's rattle off these really quickly. You know, they've had a good five-year run, these banks, these big banks. They've averaged about 25% returns over the last 5 years. The 10-year returns aren't that great because they came through that they're not growth companies like, the tech stocks are. So J.P. Morgan's down 1.6%, but it's averaged over the last 5 years 28% per year returns. The valuation's a little tough here to justify it doing that over the next 5 years. Wells Fargo's the big winner today. It's up 6.5% today as they turn that ship around. Man, that was a troubled... remember they were opening all of those accounts that were unauthorized accounts?
Oh, yeah. That was a handful of years ago. So they, you know, so they could they were hitting their bonuses by opening bogus accounts, right? Yeah.
Do we need any more banks? There's a bank. They're even building one at the entrance to my neighborhood, a J.P. Morgan bank in the weirdest place you'd ever want to see.
So it's going to be a chase. That's what that one's going to be, a chase right there as you're leaving on the right, huh?
Yeah, wow. It's crazy how many little banks, they're all competing with one another.
And they don't even really want you to go to the branch anymore. I mean, they'd rather you do it all mobile and everything else.
Yeah.
The fact that they're actually building brick and mortar is kind of blows my mind a bit.
Then Citigroup has reported it's up 1.5%. So far, the earnings parade is underway. Fastenal reported yesterday, which kind of kicked it off. They had a rough start. But today, Wells Fargo and Citigroup with some very good earnings. And then Johnson & Johnson, the venerable old Johnson & Johnson, down 1.5% right now. Member of the Dow. In fact, five Dow stocks of the 30 are reporting this week. And you've just had, I think, three or four report so far today. If we look up the 10-year record and 5-year record on J&J, which has not been much of a disruptive innovator, they've mostly been on the other end of that stick being disrupted, and then all the problem they had with talc. If it's proven that Tylenol does have something to do with autism, they're behind that also. Their 5-year average return. Now, J.P. Morgan's 28%. J&J is 7.8%. That's horrible. Versus 18% for the S&P 500. And over the last 10 years, they've returned 10.2%. While that might sound pretty good, it can't hold the candle to the S&P, which has been 23.1%. It has had a pretty good run over the last 12 months, as a lot of money went into companies like this that were kind of not impacted by the tariff war, but I certainly wouldn't be buying Johnson & Johnson. You know, I got 25 people to put on my roster, 25 stocks in any one of the rosters that I manage. You're your own general manager. You might be running your own baseball team or your football team. You may have hired a manager to run it. Would you take up one spot with J&J? I certainly wouldn't. I've got a valuation grade over the next 5 years that is pretty subpar also. It has 56% upside potential over the next 5 years. I like 80 or more, so it doesn't even come close. Okay, well, that was an action-packed hour, and I'll turn it over to Barry and Jeff tomorrow as I travel down to the Tampa and then Sarasota area, and I'll be speaking there on Friday at the South Florida Business Conference with my nephew, who is very well known. He flies all over the world speaking on how the little guys can disrupt the big guys and be a thorn in their side, and how they're slow to adapt, which is an advantage that small companies have. And then Newell White talking about the impact. How do you access some of that private equity money and get in on that? Or how do you invest alongside with private equity? There's a couple of ways of looking at that also. If you'd like to get a 4-week trial to the newsletter, if you'd like to attend the conference on Friday or get more information, you can talk directly with Newell, who will be one of the presenters. Call us first, Edie, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, man, we've been busy putting new clients' money to work or upgrading their portfolios. Call us at 855-611-BEST to get a 4-week trial to the newsletter.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.